Hello, hello, and welcome. Welcome, welcome. I hope these mics are better than the AI episode two episodes
ago. The AI episodes.
What are we talking about?
This episode.
Oh, I got like a about... little, I printed a little sheet.
Did you?
Because I don't know anything about this comic.
I know you had like some sort of guide for us a little bit ago, and I don't know what that was.
What guide?
You had like some sort of spreadsheet sort of thing, and I was that's pretty cool.
That's on Google. Google Docs.
I don't know if I have access to that, but whatever. It doesn't really matter. So this is Crossfire and Rainbow. We reviewed number 4 of 4. I don't know how substantial these characters are. I don't know if this is just for these 4 issues or what.
Well,
you have a thing. Okay.
Yeah, Crossfire was an Eclipse comic that was pretty popular. It ran from 1984 to 1988, 26 issues.
Okay.
It was actually a spinoff from another comic called DNA Agents.
Oh, that's that's cool.
I didn't know how to pronounce that.
DNA like, Agents.
DNA Agents. Because that's what it is. DNA Agents. Not DNA. Not DNA Agents.
Not DNA Agents.
It's all one word. It's
DNA Agents.
So anyway, it features the character Crossfire, the original Crossfire, Jeff Baker. And I don't know, this, first of all, I grabbed it because it's goofy looking.
Yeah, cover. It is goofy looking.
I was like, okay, this will be fun.
It looks older than it is.
This will be a fun little comic.
That we can make fun of, yeah, yeah.
So on the cover is a fake Elvis, I guess, right? It kind of looks like Elvis in Hawaii or Blue Hawaii or...
It's definitely very beach Hawaii.
It's a beach Hawaii thing. We got this character who we assume is... Crossfire, and then a character we assume is Rainbow, her trying to kiss him and stuff or something. This is number 4 of 4 we grabbed. Normally, Crossfire is its own comic, but Crossfire and Rainbow was a 4-part
They just did event. A little mini-series,
And the cover was very misleading.
Yep.
So when you have this bright, fun cover, you got some hula skirts, you got some, you know, you got everybody smiling.
Yeah, it's like a luau.
Yeah, everybody's being silly. And the first page...
It's like him in a cell with the shadows of the bars, and he's just like grizzled and defeated.
Yeah, I mean, this was like a complete slap in the face.
Yeah, it was like, oh, okay,
and
I don't know what this is.
I'll tell you, it was one of the more intriguing things we've read.
Yeah.
Like this, you know, we're 40-plus episodes, and I was really into it. You know?
So what I wrote...
Oh, did you read... Oh, I don't know if you... Did you read this?
I started to read this thing.
Oh, my gosh.
And I just did not have the time
to read
the
whole thing. It is wild.
Yeah, I know. I was like, oh, it's like ragging on Pinocchio or whatever.
It was wild.
What?
Like, this. The last 4 pages are them just, like, talking bad about Disney.
And, just nonstop.
And using,
maybe I should go back and actually read that, because I wonder...
Ruining...
How, like, being not a Disney fan, being a Disney anti-fan, as it were... right
it's
now,
wild.
I kind of wonder what I would feel about it. But what I wrote about the comic book itself, my notes was pretty cool, solid character development, great timing, interesting and unique characters, and just like a good wrap up. So I really liked it, and that's going to be reflected in my score, I think.
Oh, can't wait.
So,
all right, so let's get this baby scored. Crossfire and Rainbow, number 4 of 4, which it was very. Surprising.
Just by itself, having not even read the others. So I gave it an 8 on dialogue and script. I don't know what you would rate it. But it was like just enough dialogue that like it gave you all the information you needed. You didn't feel like you were having to read anything. You were reading it because you were enjoying it. And it just like it like hit on the points and then moved on. Nothing was stale. Nothing was like, okay, come on. And which is so what could happen in a comic like this.
Mm-hmm.
So I gave it an 8. The only reason I didn't go even higher was because none of the dialogue was super memorable.
I'm going to go 7. There's just enough dialogue.
Yeah.
You know, there's several hostage situations.
Mm-hmm.
There's some internal dialogue. Well, I don't even
there's
know.
There's like some insanity in here, which
like
can get out of hand.
It's more like a narrator in the beginning.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. Yeah.
But anyway, I'm going
to
go
But there is a lot of internal dialogue in here where like the characters, like you're trying to understand why these characters are doing what they're doing. And that can just get out of hand so quickly.
Yeah,
and true. It doesn't in this. In fact, the most difficult dialogue is his internal narrative on the first page.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And then after that, it's just kind of like, it's kind of just a breeze to read.
Yeah, it really is.
In contrast to like the noir sort of look that pervades throughout it. So, cover design and artwork.
I'm going to go 8.
Really? Okay. Well, you know, initially commented that the cover is rough.
No, the cover's not rough. It's actually...
Well, no, okay, that's true. It's misleading.
It's actually put together... I like it. This never happens. So I don't know if I like it, but it's the first time I've really seen it.
The actual title is integrated into the art.
Exactly.
Yeah, yeah.
I've not seen that.
They don't do that. They do this thing where, you know, it's just outlined in front of everything else.
Right. So being integrated gave it some extra points.
Okay, I can see that.
And then the actual, like those first panels, you know... Like, that's some solid artwork.
Yeah. Yeah, it's solid artwork. When was this? Is the 80s, you said?
86.
Okay, so, I mean, I guess my mine could be... I could boost it up to a 7, but I gave it a 6. It's just quality. And it's so weird. Like, there is an Elvis impersonator in here who plays a central part of the role. Like, plays a central role in the story.
Yeah.
And it's just such a weird, off-the-wall story. But I guess that's what we'll get to next. So that's plot and story. And I gave that an 8 because it's so weird and different. And it just works.
Yeah.
Like, it just fires on all cylinders.
So I'm going to go 7.
Okay.
Not because I don't agree with you. It's just everything fit a little too neatly at some point. You okay. Know? Like, I don't even know what his abilities are.
Yeah, neither do I. I have no idea.
But I know that he has, like, a rainbow gun.
So something it is? Like that, yeah.
But everything just kind of...
Is that what happened to her?
I don't know. But all the pieces kind of fit a little too neatly.
Yeah.
But it was still messy, like the actual story. Yeah. You know, like in a good way. Yeah. Like the actual situation was very messy. Character development, I don't know the characters.
Right, neither do I. So I kind of was relying on her reaction to stuff.
Yeah.
His... Crossfire's interaction with this police officer, and then you've got the Elvis impersonator who's doing his own thing.
Yeah, his character was intriguing, but I don't really know.
Yeah, yeah.
He didn't develop.
So that was also a little bit weak for me, but I feel like if I had read the other issues, this might have actually been pretty solid. I gave it a 6. I keep bouncing back and forth between 8s and 6s.
Okay.
But that's what I gave it.
No, 6 is fair. Yeah. I'd go 9. Would you recommend?
I gave it an 8. I definitely would recommend it. I'm actually interested in reading the other issues. I have no idea if you have them. Doesn't really matter. We'll you know.
Now, Spiegel quit this comic because he had to go do work on a Disney film.
Oh.
Because he's a... Good artist.
Late 80s? Are we talking like, what would that have been?
Let's see if you
like
can guess.
Little Mermaid?
No, it's not what you think. I don't even know. Maybe you can tell from
was
her.
Was it a big film? Or
To me.
Okay.
Actually, it was released on her Touchstone, I think. It wasn't even released on her Disney.
Oh, I don't even know if I'm going to be able to guess that then. But it was a cartoon film of some sort?
Sort of. Who Framed Roger Rabbit? Sort of.
Oh, okay.
And it's funny.
That was a Disney thing?
Yeah.
Huh.
But it's funny because if you look at Rainbow... She definitely has some Jessica Rabbit qualities.
Yeah, yeah.
And if you look, I don't know, there's a lot of things that just kind of, not this ad, but there's a lot of things that I can see it, you know, like the way the eyes are drawn.
Right.
Now, granted, there's not a lot of human-y characters in Who Framed Roger Rabbit, but...
Who aren't actually human.
Yeah. But if they are, I can definitely see the pen there.
Yeah.
It's interesting. All right, so what's your math? I got
I got a 7.2 out of 10. So let's do 7 out of 10.
28, 37. So
yours is a little bit higher, I think.
What are you at? So you're at a 36?
36, yeah.
Out of 50?
Yeah,
out of 50. So you're at a 7.2?
7.2, you're at a 7.4. So
yeah.
We could probably boost it up to a 7.5.
Yeah, I'm fine with
7.5. So
7.5 is pretty high. I got the list.
That's remarkably high.
I got the list of some of the things we've talked about.
So some of the other things I noticed in this, like because it was an 80s issue, like where's the one panel where she's running? I really liked how retro 80s this whole thing felt. where is that panel? She's around here somewhere. But like, it's so like 80s noir. And I just liked it. Like, even like the police officers, like uniforms and stuff looks 80s. Hmm. The shagginess of the hair of the male characters is so 80s. I don't know. There's just something about this that like really felt proper, good retro to me. I don't know where it was, but you know, you had it.
Yeah, but there's some interesting choices here.
Yeah.
With the artwork.
Yeah. So here it is. Like this whole thing here where you got like the control room.
Oh,
it's very late 70s, early 80s. And I just love it. I love that retro look. So I don't know. There's just something great about it in my estimation. And like just all of this, and you got like the sideburns on the
Elvis he's an character. Elvis impersonator. Yeah. I think a lot of the characters just kind of give off that vibe.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's a good vibe. It's a good vibe. And that is actually our highest score so far. Guardians
I think Grab Bag Month?
For Grab Bag Month. Guardians had a 6. So Moon Knight had a 5. Okay, I mean it's all over.
That's right. But, we're still kind of early in the month. I keep forgetting that.
7.5. That's a good score.
That's out there, man.
All right, why don't you tell the listeners about the story? Just because, you know, it's good to hear your perspective.
Okay, so you know, Crossfire's captured and he's in jail,
which we don't know why.
Because we didn't read the others. And there appears to be a cop who's like, I don't care if it's violates his constitutional rights. I'm going to keep him in jail until he admits he's Crossfire, because that's, you know, because I told you I was going to get this guy or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And he's kind of like defeated. He's like, I don't know. But it appears that in this issue, there's some telepathic link that he has to somebody. I think it's Rainbow.
Yes.
And
she keeps losing it,
though. Yeah, but apparently there was somebody out there murdering people, and he's being accused of having been the one murdering people, including a cop. Apparently he killed a cop. By all we can tell in here, but he's like, no, I didn't do it. And we know he didn't do it. There's a psychopath out there who thinks he's like an avenging angel sort of thing. And he killed the cop because he thought he was corrupt. And she's out there trying to figure out where this killer is because she knows that he's innocent. The killer like takes a hostage, and then this Elvis impersonator for some reason like realizes he has to actually do something about this because he knows what really happened or something. And he's not just going to stand by and let this, you know, crazy person out there run amok. And then eventually, like, the cop realizes, oh, it actually wasn't Crossfire didn't do this. So, like, he lets Crossfire go free, and Crossfire, like, knocks the cop out and escapes, which is just hilarious. He's like, okay, now that I've freed you, you're going to cooperate, right? And he's just like, nope, see ya, which I thought was hilarious. And then the killer gets taken out, I think, by the Elvis impersonator.
Yeah,
it's such a weird story, and it actually works really well. So
yeah, he does in fact get shot in the back.
Shot in the back
by the Elvis impersonator.
Han shot first, and there's no reason. Like, if somebody's holding you at gunpoint, you do not have to be willing to fight fair. There's no such thing as fighting fair. This was a little weird. I was like, whoa, wait, what? Like, suddenly there's a some R-rated content on like
the
addendum, and it's just like
it's like, okay. Well, we end the story now,
and it's like I flipped back to the front covers, like, is there like a mature audiences rating on
this?
No?
No, they don't even get the stamp. They don't even have the stamp, the comics
was
code.
This like pre-stamp?
No, this is, we don't care about your stamp. We're
they're
Eclipse,
just like
we're Eclipse Comics. Our owners own the rights to their characters. We put out what we want to put out.
Yeah. So I just liked it. I liked it.
Very good little comic. I'm not sure how many more of these I have. I don't know if I have any Crossfire comics, but I think I'll look.
Check it out.
Yeah, I'll check it out.
Or at least the same stuff written by the same person, maybe. So.
Yeah, because it is very good writing and very good art.
Yeah.
And I think this is one of those that just got away. Mm-hmm. You know, it's too bad. It's sad when things, you know, close for good.
Is Eclipse not around anymore?
No, we've talked about that on the Eclipse Monthly episode. How it's
because they were like one of the grab bag.
Yeah,
they were the compendium things.
Yeah,
right?
they had the mix of a bunch of different things.
Are there any good organizations doing this sort of thing now?
This kind of work,
like what they would do, like where they just
Image.
Give, Okay, so that's what Image does. They kind of do like, hey man,
make you it, own make, your stuff. Yeah, yeah,
make something good.
Yeah, I mean, Spawn was R rated as far as blood and gore, at least.
Yeah.
Even with things like, you know, Dark Horse is okay with the edge. Vertigo is okay with the edge. But Eclipse was past the edge. Oh. You know, same with
just like over
Image.
The top.
Image can be too if they want, but you know, you got to make yourself a little bit more sellable nowadays. I don't even know if people buy comics anymore.
Do people buy comics?
I don't know. I'll find out with Free Comic Book Day. And,
yeah, I guess.
You know, I'm going to go. I haven't been in 9 years or whatever it was.
So they need people to buy comics. You'll go on the day they'll give them away for free.
Yeah, funny. But I'll buy stuff.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, I'm not one of those people that just goes through the free stuff and leaves.
You're gonna you're gonna look through some of the bins and see if you find some good stuff.
Yeah. From the comic book shop, I got one by me, I got one by my work, and you know, it wouldn't hurt me to walk in on that day.
Well, just to like let you know, because I don't know if I've ever told you this. You know, Queen City Comic and Card, right? I used to live on Woodford Road right there. That's where I grew up. So I lived walking distance to that place. So like I would walk up there with my dad. We'd buy baseball cards on a regular basis. That was what we did. And so I would like, when I got into comics briefly a little bit, I would like walk up there and buy like some Star Wars or Star Trek comic books. But I didn't know anything about anything. But I did think it was really cool. Like you go into the back there and like they've just got like rows and rows of all these boxes that are just loaded full of comics and you can't even see what's what. They've got like labels of like, oh, this is this series, this is this series, but like you literally just have to go one by one to like find things. And it's like you'd always see things like, man, that looks so cool, I don't know what that is, but I don't have, you know, the $2.95 or whatever to buy this and this over here. So no, it was really cool. And I just I have been by there a bunch of times since with my job. I go through that area all the time, and I've always wondered of like I should stop in and check it out.
Yeah, maybe my favorite I'll go. My favorite part of comic book stores are the back issues. It's usually in the back room. I was gonna name the podcast Back Issues, but I'm afraid we get like chiropractic reviews of some kind. It's like, well, this isn't what I signed up for. Yeah,
this is the massage podcast, right? The massage cast.
Yes. Yes.
Welcome to Back Issues.
Well, back it just. I didn't mind the idea, but it's because I'm coming from the comic book mindset.
Right, yeah.
And if I put a show out there called Back Issues, it's either going to be about moving or it's going to be about how to fix your spinal you know, structures through
sciatica, how to deal with your sciatica.
I mean, it didn't work. It didn't work.
Yeah, yeah.
That's why we're on the trade paperbacks.
Yeah. Good, bad ideas.
Good and bad. They both work.
We should start a podcast called Good, Bad Ideas. That's a good idea. I'm sure it's a great bad idea.
That's a bad idea because this probably already exists.
All right, but we recommend Crossfire and Rainbow.
Yeah,
at least this issue, probably all of them.
Looking through like the things we've done, because if you look at, let me go. I got my Excel sheet out. Eclipse Monthly only got a 5.
Yeah, but there was a lot in there that was a little bit rough, but there were a couple of things in there that were great.
Yeah.
The monthly was like, it was just so weighted down with so many of the things that were just like, I don't know what this is.
But still, the indie comics, the non-Marvel DC, are scoring way better.
Yeah.
And then as far as ads, I mean, it's only ads for Eclipse product, correct?
Right.
I want to read this one.
The Clint, the hamster.
A two-part hamster miniseries, and they made fun of the Dark Knight Returns.
Oh, is that what that is?
The cover, okay. Yeah, you know the cover?
Yeah, yeah. I didn't draw the connection.
And that's called Clint, and he's very 80s.
Yeah, well, you know, it's very clearly Dirty Harry. He's got the auto mag. So.
We have Scout.
Yeah. Well, my guess is like Eclipse probably couldn't sell. They probably had such intermittent sales. They probably couldn't sell ads to anything that wasn't them.
Did you read this?
No. No, I didn't. I would, you know.
So it's called Scout, Just an American Comic Book. Let me read you the ad real quick.
We can experience this together.
It's pretty wild. He has seen America become a third world nation.
Okay.
He has killed the president of the United States and seen a junkie take that man's place.
Wow.
He has faced his darkest fears and found that a truer terror lies deeper. He has watched as a proud, self-sufficient community was driven from its land. Now, Emmanuel Santana must try to stop an army of religious cultists who follow a blind, mentally impaired boy prophet who preaches to his people from the Lord of the Rings.
Wow.
The boy was once Scout's friend. And now it says Scout, just an American comic book. So the boy, I'm assuming, is this mentally impaired boy? Mm-hmm. Is that who they're referencing? That was friends with Scout?
I would guess, yeah.
And who is now turning the Lord of the Rings into a religion?
Yeah, yeah.
Okay.
You could do worse with source material. No, I'd be down to check what that out happening? Just to see what's going on. Are we going to read this?
I mean, that's the edge. So. You're talking about, we talked about the edge. That's some pretty wild stuff.
But so here's the thing though. I like, you would never ever read anything like that in Marvel or DC. You would never see somebody try to approach a story like that in those traditional publications.
I agree.
So I mean, this is, I think that's why I like this, because it's so different. It's just, it's coming at you from a completely different direction, and you're just like, I don't know what it is, but you're telling me a good story. So
yeah,
it kind of goes to, with that that Zappa thing that he said in the 90s. Somebody was interviewing him, and he was like, no, we had a better world when you didn't have these hip and cool like studio executives who were like, oh, I know exactly what the people want. You had a whole bunch of people who were like, I have no idea what this is, but record it, put it out there, see if somebody wants to buy it. And that's how you got a lot of these really great bands, because it wasn't these people trying to divine what you wanted. It was them expecting that you would tell them what you wanted. So that's what I feel like these are.
Yeah. Now, the is it the author of this who wrote that thing at the end? Yeah, it was Evanier. Mark Evanier. I just want you to read that first line from the text page.
The text page. The title of the text page is Text Page, and it's in bold. So, Walt Disney sure blew it when he made Pinocchio. It's easily one of the crummiest movies ever made, full of plot holes wide enough to accommodate Monstro the Whale with ease. And then, he's got this with an apostrophe here. For instance, Geppetto the Toymaker suddenly had a puppet for his son, a puppet brought to life by a blue fairy who also equips the stringless marionette with a talking cricket as a conscience. The first morning he can, Geppetto sends the puppet off to school. It apparently doesn't dawn on him that sending a live puppet into a classroom is going to cause a ruckus. Along the way, the puppet meets up with a talking fox and goes awry. Later, when he doesn't come home from school, Geppetto is worried. So what does Geppetto do? He gets in a boat in the middle of the night and goes out to sea. Well, isn't that the first place you'd look for a boy who got lost while walking to school? Yeah, that's as far as I read before, and I was like, I could tell that this would be entertaining, but I'll see if I have time to read it before I give this back to Ryan.
Yeah.
And I just didn't. I mean, This is like a substantial. This is like,
it's a rant.
This is like 4,500 words at least, but I'm not entirely opposed to it, because I actually have a deep affection for Pinocchio, because that was like a really impactful story when I was a kid. And I kind of take like some of the psychoanalysis of the story to heart nowadays as an adult, but. Like, it just keeps on going and going and going. So, I don't know. But that being said, this guy wrote a pretty good story. So, maybe he just wanted a better story.
Now, as far as the gentleman that you were quoting, you liked his writing. So, I mm-hmm. looked up everything he's done. There have been a lot of, bits and pieces with Marvel and DC over the years.
Yeah.
But really, Eclipse is where he did a huge run. He did Crossfire 1 through 26. He did The DN Agents 1 through 24. He did Destroyer Duck number 1.
Destroyer Duck?
Yeah. But he didn't do any past number 1. So that makes me a little iffy. But yeah, there's some weird items on his list. I don't know. List,
I mean, there have been people who create things and then choose to go do other things before those things are done, just because they're not feeling it. Like the guy who created, was it Mindhunters on Netflix, where like they got two great seasons out, and then he was like, he's the only one who wrote it, and then he was like, well, I'm interested in doing other projects. He's never gone back, and it was like great, and it like leaves off like you're so ready to keep going with it, and it's just, it'll never happen again. So I don't know.
But there is something that keeps popping up a lot, and it's through Pacific Comics, which I know are in, there's some in the grab bag, but it's Gru the Wanderer. And then he also did some work with Epic Comics called The Death of Gru. And then he did the Gru Chronicles and The Life of Gru graphic novel.
Hmm. So he grew with Gru.
Yeah, it's G-R-O-O. Yeah. So I will, I'll take a look-see and see if, you know, if anything pops up. Because if I have a number one, I can always fit it into next month.
Yep.
Because, you know, when you find a good writer, you know, like with me, with, you know, like most Frank Miller stuff, I grab.
Mm-hmm. But Frank Miller is so much better known than this guy. This guy's, what's his name, Mark Evanier?
Yeah. So I think it's good to look it up.
Yeah,
know? And I'll also look into the scout thing.
Yeah, that scout thing. I would just be interested to see like, what is going on.
Sounds wild. All right, so next episode, I think it's a little something. We're back to the mainstream stuff, I think, with that one, right? Right?
What did I give you? Yeah, I think so. Next is some Marvel thing. I don't know.
Was it She-Hulk?
Yeah, I think that might be it.
Oh, okay. Well, that'll be interesting.
I don't know. I haven't read any of it yet.